Where's you all this morning, saints? There's a few missing. That's right. Who needs an uplift this morning? I'll tell you one thing, if you want a case of depression, you just follow the news for a week. And then see how it weighs on your spirit. And then I'll just say, Lord, keep me near the cross. He's the only one that's going to uplift us. I'll tell you what, we've taken another step in chaos, haven't we? In the corruption. We'll just look to the Lord. What else can we do? He'll take care of us, that's for sure. Lord bless you. I think it's, is it Jan or June? It's Jean. No, I think Bill introduced her as his other mother last time, I believe it was, from America. Lord bless you. Welcome. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and Lord, reach out to you, Lord. Who else can we turn to, Lord, in this world of chaos, Lord, but to you, Lord? You're so good to us, Lord. You look after us, Lord. You refresh us, Lord. You give us strength to carry on and walk, Lord. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory this morning, Lord, and we just welcome you here, Lord. I just pray that you would touch every heart, Lord. Those here, Lord, and those afar, Lord, that need an uplift from you this morning, Lord, whose eyes are turned upon you, Lord, for all their needs, Lord, for the things that weigh on our hearts, Lord, we just look to you this morning, Lord, and give you all the praise and glory. Just welcome you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 236. I'm waiting for the coming. Say, just because I invited you to stand, that doesn't mean you have to sing as well. If that song doesn't do something for you, you know, he's coming back for us. Amen. Sing number 247, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. tell you, when we see his face, all these things we think hold us down here, we won't remember them anymore. Let's sing number 275.
Yeah. Hey. happy about that.
Amen. Let's sing, so was there any items this morning? I saw some people moving around with a guitar there earlier. No? Sister Pauline? We'll have a few more and then I'll ask Sister Pauline to bring your item. Let's sing number 298. It was early in the morning.
It was early in the morning by an ancient wayside well. Eliezer stopped to rest his camel train. He had found a bride for Isaac, the town Rebekah's friend, and his weary journey had not been in vain. So get ready, ancient shadows, time to hear him.
Let's sing number 68 and then I'll ask if Pauline would bring her item.
I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home.
be seated. And just as a notice, there will be the AGM meeting this afternoon after the luncheon. 1 o'clock.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul.
I don't know who wrote the song, but what a revelation of the love of God and the blood. Now, there's no new prayer request, but I just thought I might ask if Brother Bill would like to come up and probe at people and get some out of them. No, I thought you might have something to say as well. So if you'd like to come up and...
No prayer requests.
Oh, not on the internet.
Well, I remember, how old was I, hun? About 28. When we came back from overseas. Well, when I was 17 and I went to America and I went to live with Gene and John Winkler, and they took me to church on the first Sunday, and I thought, holy moly. You know, all these people standing up with their hands up in the air and people praising the Lord and stuff like that. And I was brought up in a Catholic church where you didn't say anything unless it was in the hymn book and unless the priest said it. Fortunately, I came after the time when the whole Mass was done in Latin and the minister had his back to you like this. I was a little bit after that. But so when I was 17 and I went to church with Gene and John Winkler, and we got home after lunch, and I said, don't you ever take me back there again. And then I went to the Catholic church with the neighbors for the rest of the year. And then, you know, God just had his way, eh, you know? Like, and when I was about 28, we were overseas in Switzerland. I might have shared this with you, and I went to visit a friend who was an exchange student the same time as me in the next village in America. And she had married, and what I didn't even know about born again Christians really, and you know, I didn't even know about that kind of stuff. And anyway, when we left, they were a lovely Christian couple, lovely young humble Christian couple. In fact, just sitting there, I was prompted to try and find her on Facebook or on the internet and send her a message and saying, I'm a holy roller now too. But, you know, she gave us a little Bible, and that was the beginning of the Lord just, he had his hand on me and just, yeah, cool, eh? I saw you, Auntie Nanny Mill, up there with your hands up, and I thought, yep, you know, like, what, 40 years ago, man, that just turned me right off, and now I just love it. Amen? Okay. And I was just thinking, I just wanted to share to that name, Eliezer. We've got some really good friends, and their son's name is Ereatara. And then there's a man from Te Puia Springs, and his name is Ereatara. It's such an unusual Māori name. It doesn't actually fit together. But Ereatara is the Māori version of that name, Eliezer. And I thought, man, those old people, they were quite amazing, you know, sister. They how they changed, you know, they took names from the Bible. You know, Kieran Harpook, Job's three daughters, Jemima, Kezia and Kieran Harpook. There's a lady about 100 years ago who went to the school where I teach. That was her name, Kieran Harpook. Incredible, eh? That someone would call their child Kieran Harpook. They might call it Mary or Susanna or something like that, but they would call their child Kieran Harpook or their son Eliezer. Neat, eh, Sharon? Kawai. Okay, who's got some requests? Anyone want us to bring a prayer, a spoken prayer before the Lord? Wednesday week, Howard's traveling to America. Jan? Jan's brother, he's out of ICU now. Is he home now? He's still in hospital. Anyone else? I thought about our wayward children. Yeah. And not even worry about it. You know, honestly, there is no point in worrying about it. Just leave it with the Lord. We were all wayward once. I was wayward. I forgot I was wayward, but I was. Anyone else? How's your back, sister? Yeah, for the Muslims in Christchurch, that they would see, eh? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Yep, June? Really needs the Lord. Amen. What about you young girls? You beautiful young princesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beulah, would you like prayer for anything? Okay, let's just bring that before the Lord then. Eh? So Lord, Lord, we just really thank you, Lord, that we can come to you just in confidence, Lord. Lord, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fuss. Just bring it before the Lord. Lay it on the altar. And just leave it with you. Cast all our cares upon you because you care for us, Lord. It's just a simple promise. Hallelujah. And Lord, so we just bring all our needs before you this morning. Howard, as he travels off to the States for a few weeks. Lord, it's not a holiday, Lord. And you think international travel is a holiday, but it's not. It's hard work and being not always being in your own bed and moving around and all that kind of stuff. Lord, it's hard. It taxes you, Lord. And then you've got to be sharp. You've got to be on them, you know, because the devil will want to come in and thing his plans, Lord, undo his plan, the Lord's plans with Howard and what he's going to do over there in America. So just pray that you'll undertake for Howard and just prepare the hearts of the people over there, Lord, to receive what you would have for them through Howard. Bless June and the children too, Lord, left behind. And I think June's going to Adelaide. Yeah, just bless her time with her children over there. And Lord, just for June's relative, Lord, who really needs a touch from the Lord at the moment, Lord. Lord, your arm is not too short and your ear is not too dull to, just to reach out and touch people who need salvation. Lord, you reached it out when we were in sin's degradation. When we were in sin's degradation, Lord, you reached your hand down and pulled us up out of it. Thank you, Lord. For Jan's brother, Lord, for Niall, who's out of ICU and in hospital, just pray for continued healing. But more importantly, Lord, we pray for his salvation. Lord, we pray for our sons and daughters who have strayed from the faith, Lord. Lord, we don't fuss about it, Lord. We just want to show them love, Lord Jesus, and just leave that work in your court, Lord, because that's your business, not our business. You're in the business of saving, not us. We just have to show love. We just have to be a example to them, Lord, of real, genuine Christians, Lord. And, Lord, we want to pray for those grieving families in Christchurch. Probably they're not only in Christchurch, they'll have families back home in their own countries and Lord, even within New Zealand. I just think of, 50 people in Gisborne. If that happened in Gisborne, 50 people, it would affect every one of us. We would all have someone that we knew, Lord. And in that small community there, that Muslim community, Lord, they would all be linked, and know one another, Lord. And it's just so awful, Lord. But, Lord, through the awfulness, Lord, through the mud, Lord, the water lily pushes its way up and blooms, Lord. And I just pray that Christ would touch their hearts, Lord. Even just the way that Christian people have been reaching out to them, that they would see that we serve a living God, a real McCoy living God who cares intimately and who can heal the hurts and the pains and the unforgiveness and everything, Lord. I don't know whether they have that in their religion, but I know for in our faith and what we believe, Lord, we can completely forgive as you have forgiven us through the blood and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just lift up these prayers to you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Now, seeing as there's no afternoon service, was there any testimonies this morning that you want to give all the glory to the Lord? We had a bunch of answered prayers last weekend. How about this week? I bet there is heaps. We don't always say, but he's so good, isn't he? No, that's all right. He is good. Let's sing number 303. He walked in Galilee.
Thank you.
come. Just sing number 159, Here's My Everything. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm here to say that we are very blessed.
Amen.
We are very, very blessed to have the Lord. In this day in which we're living in, people out there floundering to grasp reality and they don't know where to go. So we should be ready to tell them what Jesus Christ has done for them. And it's a real privilege to know him and to see him moving in our midst the way he is in hearts. I just thank God for the privilege of this fellowship. There would be literally hundreds, I don't want to exaggerate, there'd be hundreds of people give anything to be sitting here that I know. And that's the truth. And I almost hear them saying amen. Because they listen to the service every Sunday, right now. And we say, God bless you. Because we're a part of the same family. And I just pray that we'll always appreciate what God has given us. Because one day, it could be taken from us. Always keep that in mind, you know, you don't always have these privileges. So we need to really thank God while we have them. Blessed be his holy name. Well, I just pray that he'll speak to us today through his word. As we go through his word, something will speak to us. It's really a simple word, so anyone can understand it. Anyone, even I can. So if I can understand it, everyone else will be able to. I'm not that bright, as you know. But I just thank God that the Lord knows how to speak to us. He knows how to speak to hearts. To little girls, like that one down there, he knows how to speak to you. Yeah, he can come right down to where we're at. God knows how to get to us. So I just pray that he will this morning. I want to turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through to 6. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through to 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from, oh yes, you can stand, that'd be good. saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessels that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you will come and open your own word to our hearts. You wrote this, Lord. You had this done. This happened. And Lord, for our admonition, strengthening, I pray, Lord, that you'll give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and to obey, Lord. We give this word to you. We don't want it to fall to the ground and get eaten up by the birds, or the seed to be shriveled by the sun. But Lord, that'll go into good ground, bring forth good fruit for the glory of God. For we know, Lord, that the days of your coming are very close. This world is in chaos, as Brother Timothy said. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts will be ready to go with you before we know it's close. We commit ourselves into your hands this day in the name of the Lord Jesus for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. It's amazing how things happen and it has a wonderful lesson behind the happenings. And God knows how we think and he knows how to get a message over to us. And I pray he will get over to us today. For this is a practical example. For God is, also I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, which says, "For it is God which worketh in you, not the preacher, not the church. It's God which worketh in you, both," there's two things, "to will," that's to will his will, "and to do of his good pleasure." And we'll see from the example of the potter, it's exactly what happened. I've entitled this, "The Potter Wrought a Work on the Wheels." The potter wrought a work on the wheels. Have you ever seen those wheels, the potters? Oh, I love that. You've got a good film on that called The Potter. You see it spinning. Your hands go over it and they dip it in water. It's going over the vessel. And then they make it taller or they make it shorter because the potter's controlling the forming of the vessel. And I believe God needs to open our eyes to see something, and I pray he will this morning. Sometimes he gives us a vision. Sometimes he'll give us a parable. And sometimes he can give us a practical demonstration. And I believe this was Jeremiah's case. He got a practical demonstration from the Lord. In Jeremiah 18:2, it says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Who wants to hear the word of the Lord this morning? We want to hear the words of God, not of Howard Searle or anybody else. We want to hear the words of the Lord. And God said, "Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house." He knew where it was. He used to walk past it all the time. And he went down and he had to watch something. And Jeremiah and Israel needed to see something as well, not just look at it. They need to receive something. And how much more his children today. We need to be more sensitive to God. Brothers and sisters, I really believe we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because you know when God's speaking to you. But if you're not, if you're insensitive, you'll walk over the top of it. And that's dangerous. Don't do that. If God's speaking to you, listen to what he's saying to you. As Jesus said, having ears, they hear not. They have a heart and they understand not. God speaks to them, they don't hear. So God can speak to you and you're not hearing what he's saying to you or to me, to any of us. How many times he shows we are outside his will. Oh, we've all had this. We know we're outside his will and we blunder on without prayer about it. We blunder on hoping that'll fix it. Has anyone ever done that? Lee has, I have. Anyone else? We're blundered on hoping that'll be fixed up. So may God be good to us today to show us these things. When Joshua, the general of the Israeli forces in the Bible, when he lost 36 men which died at the battle of the city of Ai, after previously having a great victory battle of Jericho, Joshua said, Lord, there's something wrong. Lord, I see there is something wrong. I've just lost 36 of my best men. Before in Jericho, they didn't lose any. And he brought everything to a halt. He said, hold on. This is what he did. Read your Bible. It'll tell you clearly. And everybody went to searching to see what was wrong in the camp. We've just lost 36 brothers to the enemy. And that's what we should always do. To say, halt, there's something not right. I'm not doing something right. You see, brother and sister, God is not the author of confusion. People think when God, you know, you go along and everything goes wrong, it's all confusion. That is not God. Remember that. God is not the author of confusion. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 14:33. There's always a reason for these things, and we need to search our hearts. Need to get on our knees and say, Lord, I'm bringing a halt to this. There's something not right here. God was displeased with Achan's disobedience. He's one of the troops. And he went and got himself a couple of bars of gold, I think it was, Babylonish garment. And he knew it was wrong because he hid it. He hid his doings. We all know what he did. What did he do? Do you know what he did, sister? What? He dug a hole under his tent, didn't he? He put the gold, the Babylonish garment, and all those other things he took, which he was told not to, covered them up, put a mat over the top. And 36 men died. Because God sees your every move. You can't hide from the Lord. Don't even try to. He sees your thought afar off. He sees you even planning what to do. I think that was terrible. All those families were affected because of a disobedient man. When God says, touch not the unclean thing, he means what he says. Don't touch the world. Because that's what it was mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he touched it. He touched the unclean thing. We must obey his word. And Joshua was very sensitive to God's displeasure. He said, Lord, there's something wrong. Lord, what is it? I want you to show us, Lord. What is it? He said, search the camp. So I went and searched the camp. And every man searched. Every tribe searched. Every family searched. narrowed right down to Achan. And you know what? Achan's sin brought judgment on his entire family, on his animals. Everyone died and were burnt and covered with stones. It's a serious thing to get outside the will of God. Brothers and sisters, we might get away with it. Achan got away with it, covering him in his tent and burying, putting a mat over the top. But God sees. God says, I'm not going to move one more time until that thing's rooted out of here. Brother and sister, I want everything in my life to be rooted out. Who wants that? Say amen. We want it to be rooted out. If there's something in there that's not good, it's bad. You know, you go to the dentist, always think the dentist, he finds there's something bad in his tooth. He's going to root that out. It may be a bit painful, but he's going to get it out when he gets that drill going. And he starts pulling out the decay. Because if you don't pull out the decay, you're going to lose all your teeth. You may lose your life. And God knew this, that Israel was not prospering because they had disobedience. So God said to Jeremiah, getting back to him again, Jeremiah, I want you to visit the potter's house. I want you to go down there. And when he got to the potter's house, instead of Jeremiah talking, being a prophet and all, he watched carefully to learn. We're going to just shut our mouth a few times and say, Lord, show me, what am I doing here? What's going on here? I want to see what you're trying to say to me. I don't want to miss my opportunity, Lord. And that's a very interesting lesson for us all, as the Word of God teaches us to keep our mouth shut and listen. We've got so much to say, but actual fact, we need to stop and listen. As Jeremiah, he went down to Potter's house and he didn't say anything, he just watched. In James 1:19, we read, therefore, my beloved brethren, this is a word from the Lord, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Very good counsel. It's really good to listen to what God's trying to say. Oh yeah, I know that, brother. I understand all this. Keep quiet and listen to what God is trying to tell us. We rush on ahead with hobnailed boots where angels fear to tread. When God is showing us something, well, speaking to us, listen, it's always very clear. I can tell you now, if God speaks to you, it's very clear to you. You know, it's, I wonder what it is. And you know what it is. God's trying to keep your reasoning out of it and just listen to what he's saying to you. To us all. Because I want to hear his voice. I want to hear his voice in tender tones. The song goes, hearing his voice in tender tones. I want to say this, when God speaks to you, however he speaks to you, he does not mumble. You hear it clearly what God's, and God knows how to speak to you. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God knows how to speak. He's very precise in what he's saying to you. I know he's spoken to me. He's spoken to you. We've all been spoken to. And it's very, very clear. I don't want you to do that anymore. You've always done that, but I don't want you to do it anymore. Thank you, Lord. I've gone into situations, even recent days. The Holy Spirit said to me, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything about that. Just listen. It's so important to go into the potter's house and listen. We'll find out why it's a potter's house, certainly. God said to Jeremiah, I am the potter and you are the clay. Who's boss? The clay or the potter? You've never seen clay modeling a potter, have you? It's always the other way around. The potter is molding the clay. But firstly, we see in verse 3 that this is the work of God. And brother and sister, it's not the potter, God. It's the work of God who we say is the potter, as God said it was. It's not of man. That's why we read that other verse. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure in you. It's God's work. Keep your hands off it. As Brother Bill said today, it's good admonition. Let's not worry about this and worry about that. Let's trust God. That was good, Brother Bill. Now, we would think if God's doing it, it'll all be straightforward and pure. Well, God is always pure, but the clay's not too good sometimes. I don't know if you guys, people, I don't know whether you people have ever had clay, and I've got a lot of it in my yard. We're in just a clay area. We could start a factory making clay models. But you find in the clay it can be really soft, and all of a sudden, when you squeeze it, there's a lump in there. The clay can have lumps in it. It doesn't bend very well. And so there's Jeremiah watching the potter molding the vessel. We have been worked on, us, the clay, by the potter, our Lord Jesus Christ. But this human clay, I don't want to offend you, but I want to tell you the truth. It's very stubborn. This clay is a stubborn creature. Do you agree? Amen? Well, I'm glad you agree with me, because I thought I'd have to convince you that. You know, you just need to look around and you can see in your life the times where you messed up. All because of stupidity, stubbornness. When God showed you and then you went on and did it anyway. In Jeremiah's experience, the clay was not responding too well to the potter. Now, I want you to note this. It's very clear in the scriptures. So drastic measures had to be taken. The potter was trying to, I've said this before, he's got on the wheel. He's going around, he's molding this. There's something not right. It's hitting this bump, that lump in the clay. It's going around. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, and he's trying to get that out of there. Something really stubborn in there. It won't mold to his hand. And we see that drastic measures had to be taken. The Bible said that Jeremiah saw. Who knows who the potter is? The Lord, right? And it says that Jeremiah saw the potter, the Lord, and as the Lord said, he damaged the vessel. That's got to stop. And the vessel was broken. You know why? Because he loved it. He loves us. And we don't obey him, he'll break you down. And God knows how to break us all down. He's got a way of doing it. Sometimes we may face fiery trials, but he's loving you. He's trying to help you. Because he wants you to be there on that day. And so Jeremiah said, wow, that pot. I saw him do it. He marred the vessel with his own hand. The Bible says so. We read it. He marred the vessel with his own hand. It wasn't an outside, something outside. It was actually the potter did it. People say, oh, it's the devil. No, God allowed that and he marred something. Like in your film. We see that the potter gets that vessel and he breaks it. Right down. Who's seen that film, The Potter? We should have that sometime show you. It's really wonderful. Because the scripture is exactly what we're talking about. And it was broken right down. Broken in pieces. But he knew how to put the pieces together. You know how he did that? He started to mold it all over again. And he made himself a new vessel. As seemed good to the potter to make it. As it seemed good to God to make the vessel. That lump was no longer a problem. It was taken out. God dealt with it. And brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God, he'll deal with the lumps. Those rebellious things that hold us back from getting closer to him. You see, we are the Lord's workmanship. We've been placed on his table. We've been placed on the wheel. And it's his workmanship. And he's running the ship. He is running the ship. And all our impurities and our stubbornness, we're not conforming to his will. He will straighten us out. He will. Hallelujah, Brother Lee. He will straighten us out. Isn't that wonderful? Say, praise the Lord. Who wants to be straightened out? Say amen. Amen. I want to be straightened out because the world's not straightened out. The world's in a terrible state. They don't even know how to yield to God. So he says very clear in the scriptures, when God gets a hold of you and he places you on the table, on his table, then we're under his will and control for his glory, not for our glory. We read in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's his will. And we're going to walk in them. And I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to be walking down the King's Highway. I'm going to be walking under control of the Holy Spirit. Who wants to be there? Brother, sister, you will be there. God's got his hand on you. You will be there. And if you yield to him, he'll take you down that highway. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can buck. We can rebel all we want to. But he will chasten us and he'll break us down. You know, brother and sister, it's God's way of doing things. All that live righteous in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to be tested. You will be tested. Not, oh, I don't want to have any testings and trials. You will have them. Why? You need them. God knows it. Only to rebuild us again. Praise the Lord. He does this because he loves us. In Proverbs 3, verse 11, we read, my son, my daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary at his correction. Boom, 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 boom. You know, if he has to do it, he has to do it because he's going to make sure you're going to be there. Hallelujah. Say praise him. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Why? Because he loves you. Even as the Father, the Son, in whom he delighteth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You may demand and say, I want to be a kettle. I want to be a kettle. I want to be a pot. I want to be this. I want to be that. God said, really? I'm the potter. You're the clay. And if I want you to be a humble saucer, you will be a humble saucer, always underneath everything. God knows how to get you to that place of submission. And I want to be in that place of submission. For he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the great I am. We are nothing. He is everything. Does not the Lord say in verse 6, cannot I do with you as I want? He said to Jeremiah, I do as I want, not as you want. Because I am the king and you are my children. I'm the father. I'm the potter and you are the clay. In Jeremiah 18:6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O house of Israel. We're in his hand this morning. We're in his hand tomorrow as well. And next week, you're still in his hand. Some may express, I want to be a preacher. I need a revelation. I want to be a song leader. I want to be a musician. I want to be this. I want to be that. God may say, I want you to be a doorkeeper. Or I want you to be a helper. People think, oh, it's a fivefold ministry. It's a lot more than a fivefold ministry. God's got helps in the body. Is that part of the Ephesians 4? Helps and governments. We need somebody who can govern things properly. We need governors in the church. We need helpers in the church. Who believes we need helpers? We need people to shut the door. Is that right, Brother Paul? We've all got a job to do. We're in the Lord's house. And we're vessels according to his plan and purpose. There's only one perfect you. And that's you. No one can take your place in God's kingdom. He's made you thus for a purpose. You can't imitate somebody else. I remember Brother Branham saying, you know, he said this, just be yourself and God will bless you. Don't try and be something else. Just be yourself. Isn't that good, Brother Bill? It's good philosophy, isn't it? You don't have to try and put on, make out you like Billy Graham or try and imitate somebody. Never imitate somebody else like that. It's awful. Just be yourself and God will bless you. I don't mind being a doorkeeper in the house because I'm in the house. When you're a doorkeeper in the house, Brother Tim, you're in. You're a doorkeeper, Brother Paul. You're in the house. Isn't that wonderful? A great honor. If we could have a vision right now of the world and the chaotic conditions people are in. You think you've got problems? Forget it. You don't know what problems are. Seriously. What if you lost your legs? You're in a wheelchair, people taking you everywhere. What if you're blind, you cannot see? What if you've got no money? Nothing. You're depending on people. Brothers and sisters, we are so blessed to have Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we realize that, we'll change our whole attitude. Remember, no matter how ill you are or how sick you are, there's always somebody a lot worse off than you are. So it's so wonderful to surrender to the potter. That means a totally surrendered heart. Lord, search me, O God, David said. Who was David? A prophet of God. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be any wicked way in me, he said, because I'm not sure. It takes the Holy Spirit to search you out and see if you're a stubborn clay pot or not. Doesn't take long for him to show you if you're willing to listen. So God starts his work and he's going to finish it. There's nothing worse than going into a place and you see them working on things and jobs and you see some jobs up on the shelf and they're not finished. It always bothers me that. Why aren't they finished? They've been there for a long time. Some places they've been there for months. They started a job and they never finished it. Never be like that. God's not like that. And when he starts a work on you, Sister Sharon is going to finish it. Isn't that wonderful? It won't be you, it'll be him doing it. He's the potter. In Philippians 1:6 we read, being confident of this very thing. Being confident of what? This. that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I like the Amplified Bible rendering of that. It's quite clear. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a work, good work in you, will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No matter what trials you go through, Tim, he's going to bring you through. He's going to do it. We all go through trials, don't we? Sometimes we get so low, we just about fall off the register. Have you ever had that? You're feeling so down. But he said, cast all your cares upon me. Cast them, or cast all your anxieties upon me, for he careth for you. Hallelujah. He's not going to let any of his children go. He'll lose none of his kids. Not one is he going to lose. Hallelujah! We rest in that, Brother Bill. We praise God for that. All your children, claim them for the kingdom. The pot will be on the job. In John 6:37, all that the Father hath given me, Jesus said, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Who wants to get closer to God? Just go to him. He will receive you. No matter what you've done, he will receive you. He loves a hungry heart. Who's glad the Lord is a good workman?
Amen.
He doesn't start a job and doesn't finish it. Ah, I'm not going to work on Brother Brian. He's too much of a problem. I'll leave him and go somewhere else. No, Brother Brian, he started it. He's going to bring you through. Isn't that wonderful? Who believes God's going to bring you through? Raise your hand. He's going to bring us through. Well, there's three, four, there's five. Believe he's going to bring them. Who believes God's going to bring you through? Raise your hand. Lord, I believe you're going to bring me through. In Hebrews 13:20, we read this. Now the peace, God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, not yours, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, not your sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the work is his doings, and to please him and in his sight. You say, I'm doing terrible. Maybe to God, you're not doing terrible. He's working on you. It's just the stage you're at may look terrible. But God's got a plan for you. God is not hit and miss. He does a perfect work. In Jude chapter 1, verse 24, we read, now unto him, who's that? The Lord. That is able to keep you from falling. Thank you, Lord. And to present you faultless. Faultless. No fault found. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Do you know, brother and sister, when God gets a hold of us, we come under the blood of Jesus Christ, we're faultless. Who believes that?
Amen.
And the Bible says we're unreprovable in his sight. Can't correct us. Why don't you need to be corrected? Because you're faultless under the blood of Jesus. Now, sure, God chastens us. This outside man needs to be pushed around a little. But actually, in Christ, we are faultless. We are perfect in him. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven, is to be perfect in Christ Jesus, to receive the blood of Christ, and to believe on him with all your heart and to walk close to him, and you will be there. And he'll give you the Holy Ghost as a proof that the transaction's being taken. So he's going to keep us from falling. You know that maybe that pot or the vessel on the wheel might have fallen off. Pot will hold it. Make sure it doesn't fall on the floor. It's not going to destroy what he's done. And he's going to keep us unto his coming, unto the day of redemption. And he's going to present us faultless, a perfect vessel. Maybe it had to be broken down. Maybe that stubbornness had to be dealt with. But he remade us again for his glory. Hallelujah. So let us ask him to keep us from falling. If God takes his eye off you, you fall instantly. Who believes that's amen?
Amen.
You're only here because God's got his hand on your life.
Amen.
It's the truth. Absolutely the truth. Being obedient vessels, that his glory will be revealed in us. After all the trials and the rough bits are shaven off, the lumps in the clay, he'll be able to present us as true vessels of mercy for his glory. Who wants to be a vessel of mercy? Let's turn to Romans, our last scripture. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared in glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. We're Gentiles. Anyone's not a Jew is a Gentile. Apart from the Samaritan, which is half Jew and Gentile. But brother and sister, he made us a vessel of mercy. He did that. The riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. So he's called us not of ourselves, but he came down and sought us out. He saved us, made us clean, cleaned us up, washed us in the blood of the Lamb, gave you faith to believe. There's a lot of people out there in the world that are a lot better than you and I. Now that's the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. There's people out there got characters, reference, I tell you what, they'll put you to shame. Put me to shame especially. But do you want to know something? The vessel of mercy was taken off the same lump of clay on the floor as the others. You might say, oh, well, I'm living a pretty sanctified life. I'm living close to God. I'm watching what I do. That's very nice. But you're still clay of humanity. We're no better than they are. Except the potter came down. He chose this portion of clay. He brought it up and he put it onto his table. So I'm going to make you a vessel of mercy. Exactly the same clay. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that calleth after God. So he bent down, he picked up you. He's making you a vessel of mercy. So brother and sister, don't let us be like that one that started rebelling. Because when you start doing that, he'll have to do something drastic to you. Because he loves you. So I'm going to make sure you're there. Because I've chosen you before the foundation of the world. And I've written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's not going to be a place where that vessel's not filling. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Don't you love the Lord?
Amen.
ask a brother and sister, Lord, I'm willing to be shaven off. Whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'm willing to be. That's easy to say, but it's a big statement. Are you willing for God to form you and to make you a new creature for his glory? Remember, we're no different from those good guys out there. They're just like us. They have the same temptations, the same trials as you and I do. But God has picked us up, not because we're special, but has put us on his table. He's going to make you a vessel of mercy. Who's glad?
Amen.
I'm so glad that my Father in heaven is watching over us and keeping us and presenting us blameless on that day. Praise be to God. Shall we just stand? Lord Jesus, we bow our heads and hearts to you this morning, Lord. And Lord, these things are very true. The things what you showed Jeremiah, Lord, apply to us. Lord, you spoke very clearly that you are the potter and we are the clay. Israel and us makes no difference. We're still spiritual Israel, Lord, through Christ. So, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will do this work. And cause us, Lord, to yield to God. Cause us, Lord, to surrender to thee. Sometimes we say, Lord, why this, why that? And he says, I'm trying to get something through to you. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. I want to bless you. I want to fill you. When he makes us a vessel, Lord, you said you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I'm praying that you'll move upon hearts here this morning. And those out on the internet joining us, may they also realize that God loves them. He wants to help them, Lord. How we need you in this day, this evil hour which we live. We commit ourselves to you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have thy way, Lord. Don't let any of us miss the call. May we have sensitive ears and hearts to your promptings. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the vessels, half formed here this morning, wherever you are. There's been a few lumps and you're just willing to surrender to him. Say, Lord, take me just now. I surrender all to thee. I want you to mold me, Lord. I'm ashamed of myself for being so hard lumped. Lord, holding back that vessel of mercy being formed in me. Is anybody who'd like prayer for that, or you just want to come and pray at the altar, you just feel free to come. But God, remember this, God is working on you. and he's going to get you right. For time's running out, and we need to be ready. Jesus said, be therefore ready, for an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Have thine own way. Be sensitive to God. Sensitive to God if you know that God is talking to you and speaking to you. He'll never force his way into your life. He'll never do it. He's gentle. He wants to mold you, get you right. Things you've been doing not pleasing to him, he says, that's got to go. That's got to go. That's got to go. I want you to do it because I love you. I want you to be there. Let's sing the last verse. Anyone like prayer for any matter, just come. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord Almighty. Excellent way. Thank you.
number 99, let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. Let the Lord have his way. That clay that Brother Howard was talking about, the Lord's referring to, that was everybody in the world, is the clay. Everybody. It made me think of those victims that were left in Christchurch. They're clay, even though they may be another religion. But I've been praying for those people that they might pray to the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I condemn Satan, absolutely condemn Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those Muslim people that are doing all that praying, that they pray to the right, one and only Creator and God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you picked us up, Lord. We are that clay. We know jolly well that we have lumps here and there, sometimes big bits, sometimes little bits, but we're very confident, Lord, that you will see us through. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will do it. That is you, Lord. And the Word of God in writing tells us that you're going to do it, and not one will be lost of your children. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. We pray for the people on the internet and the CD that have listened in. May they do what they need to do before God. You are the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, but you're also a good God. And you know everything about us, and you will see us through. Encourage us, Lord, to hold on to what you've given us. Lord, we just thank you for the fellowship we're going to have at the luncheon. Bless the food to us. Bless the hands that prepared it. May the fellowship be wholesome. And be with us, Lord, at the meeting, the church meeting afterwards. Undertake for us as we close at this time. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.